And I'm going to share today a little bit about, or a lot about, in a half an hour, I speak fast, the journey that we've been on in putting together our account-based marketing program. And what I find interesting about ABM is it's nothing new, right? Everything old is new again. So how many people remember target account selling? I know you do. you over there. I think this is just the reincarnation of target account selling at a new modern day. And so I'm going to try and bring some experiences of my past. So I spent a very long time at Adobe, and then I was at Jive, and now I'm at Alfresco. And I'd set up the strategic account program at Adobe many, many years ago, which is still working, which is a good thing to see. But I think when you think about ABM, and I talked to a few of you in the audience before getting started just to try and figure out where are the folks in the audience in understanding or implementing your own program. So maybe I'll ask for a show of hands to get started. How many have a not yet started ABM in your company? Okay, so maybe 25% of the audience. How many are a year in your first year? Equal. And how many are more than 2 years in? Two. Okay, all right, so this will be helpful because we're about 2.5 years in our journey. So hopefully I'll be able to share some lessons learned and give you some practical tips and tricks. I think the session before, if you were here, was really good at a high level, broad brushstroke in terms of what to think about in account-based marketing. So just for context, Alfresco, we are a open source software company that's focused on content and process automation for organizations that are implementing digital transformation initiatives. So that's what we do. That's our elevator pitch, and I'm sticking to it. So when I organize this talk, what I want to cover is, first of all, how do you prepare? How do you sell the idea to your organization and your sales leaders? And, you know, is this really a good idea? Because it may not be, depending on the kind of market that you're in. Once you decide, then how do you prioritize? What are the approaches that we've used, what I've heard other people use in terms of setting your targets, selecting your accounts? Then putting the plan into action. So what are the options that you may have at your disposal to actually develop a plan? And how do you think about doing that for super target accounts or maybe ABM at scale? And then how do you bring the whole organization into this process? And finally, how do you measure success? So those are the areas that we're going to walk through. So in preparing and selling the idea, well, I always have to, those are my kids, just the two blonde ones and her best friend. And so you always have to start with a kid picture. But if it was just this easy, right? I've got one buyer, I know he's thirsty, and might want a cookie. So target buyer, right time, right target, you're good. Well, that's not the world we live in, right? I'm in complex B2B selling, and you know, it need to be his whole soccer team with all their allergies and everything else, and then we have to figure out to triangulate what it is that we're gonna sell them at what point. But when it came time to decide that we wanted to go into a target account model, so the company, we've been in business 10 years, open source, so we started out kind of developers in the open wild and just use our free software and call us when you need support. There was nothing target about our account strategy. And so in moving that where we wanted to sell upmarket, we wanted to sell to specific buyers, we wanted to sell bigger deals, we needed to do something different. We just couldn't continue to react to the people that were calling us from all over the world. So I was lucky that I had a partner in our head of sales that believed in this idea as well, but the buy-in did not happen at every level of the organization. So when you're selling the idea, you have to sell all the way to the guy that's making his living selling your whatever you have. So why is it good for them? Do they understand by focusing on fewer targets and working those targets, you'll be able to get deeper into those accounts, you'll be able to sell more, you'll be able to have bigger deals. It might take more time, it might take more effort. It does take more time, it takes more effort. But it's the right thing to do to grow your business and to make a better living for yourself. So that's what we spent the time doing in selling the idea. The next stage was around prioritization and setting our targets. So this is our model. We have a global 20. I was the advocate of that. I wanted, who are the, you know, the 80-20 rule, their top 20 customers drive a higher percentage of revenue in your organization. And that's where we're gonna go, pure, hardcore, account-based. What was interesting when we first approached and I asked the head of sales for her top 20, they wanted to pick one from every rep. Everybody gets an account. That's not a winning strategy, in my opinion. You want to pick the best 20 accounts that are going to drive the largest amount of revenue. So we had quite a bit of debate going back and forth on who the top 20 should be. We also wanted our top 20 to be existing accounts we already had footprints. You can, I think, get started faster and get more success when you already have a relationship to grow from. Then our middle tiers are targets. So our organization has direct sellers that live in the field. Those are our high-paid folks. And then we have indirect sellers that do the primary selling over the phone. So we set targets for them. 40 accounts for the field reps, and then 150 for the corporate reps, which should get us to a target of about 4,000 total accounts based on the size of our company. We're about $100 million in recurring revenue. So that's our target, 4,000. And then there's just everybody else in our universe. So we did an exercise looking at countries that we do business in and the industries we want to do business in, six industries, and just worked with our data provider to come up with those accounts. So we just had them in our database. We only had names and accounts in our database of people that had downloaded our open source software. So we needed to build out our infrastructure and our database just to have the, you know, who is the account, so when something does happen, we know, oh, this is at least an account we might be interested in. So we call those our named accounts, but from a strategic perspective, we just deal with those on an inbound basis. We don't proactively outbound market to them. So that's how we set up our targets, and lessons learned. So I'll give you some insights. So lessons learned. The Global 20 we've stuck to. That's been a really good approach. The target 4,000 ended up being a target 10,000 because they kept adding new targets. And the way that our parent-child model worked, you know, they'd pick GE and then it's 150 subsidiaries and that's my one account. And you're like, really? Actually, it's a global. But for that example, so you need to be specific when you're working with your account selection. Are we picking it at the parent? Are we picking it at the child? And what does that mean? And are your systems set up for that? So we're a Salesforce Marketo stack. So you know, can our systems handle that? And so we've been working on getting that fixed for a while. So that's target setting. Hopefully I didn't forget anything. Okay, so now we're gonna go into planning in the mix. And I love what the guys at Topo did with this slide, so I borrowed it. With their permission. So, you know, when you look at a buyer and their journey and all the different touch points that you have, you know, what are the right things that you need to be putting in place? What can be automated? What needs to be in person? Where can it be a community activity? If you have an active community. So they're showing here, it's like, well, what's that relationship between marketing and sales? And I absolutely agree with Matt in the previous session is, once you move to an ABM pure model, marketing is more about influence than it is about sourcing. And that's a difficult conversation to have. But what are the expectations then of the different teams in this journey? And especially as we move into these account strategies, I think the most important point is once the customer becomes a customer. That's when the selling starts, not the first deal. So, because you have to have excellent customer service, you need to always be working that account, you need to be continuing to ask for more contacts, you need to be building more contacts in those accounts, doing things inside those accounts that spread, you know, the success you're having. So in my journey as a marketer, I've become more of an advocate of kind of the continuous selling and nurture and feeding of customers after the first handshake. That's where, especially if you're in a SaaS-based business, the lifeblood of the company is. So these are the programs that we put in place. So once I was inspired by the Topo slide, our marketing team sat down and mostly our field marketing, a little bit of our demand group, and said, okay, well, we need to come up with a menu of items. So when we're having our account planning discussions with the sales reps, so we went high level, and I presented this at a sales kickoff, and then we went team by team, and we said, what's that menu of things that we could put into action for each of the accounts? So we, rather than letting everybody come up with their own idea, we created a list. And some of these things we've programatized, if that's a word. Our roundtables, the strategic account brief. So I'll highlight a few of these things just as what I think is working really well. Executive right now for us, these executive dinner, breakfast, CIO visionary roundtables are working really well in like organizations. So we'll have like a financial services roundtable or a healthcare roundtable. So we have a vertical orientation. Strategic account briefs. There's somebody here from ADP. I should show you your strategic account brief. This is one of my favorite tools borrowed from years past. So the strategic account brief is we go in and we interview the sales rep, and then we get access to the contacts inside the account, and we create a brochure for our customer. It's not for our external use, it's for our customer's internal use to promote what their success is with their peers. And so it might start off with two or three use cases that we've implemented, and then the back page has all the people inside that account that are part of the Alfresco program, plus our account manager. And I tell you, walk in after you have two or three wins, you put that strategic account brief down, they end up spreading it throughout their organization. And then sometimes they actually let you take that information and start to use it publicly. So we don't ask for, you know, I want to do a case study and I want it to be in public. We say, we'd like to help you in promoting your solution internally, and we'll write up this brief for you, and then they can use it inside. So we've done that for a lot of our strategic accounts, and it works really well. And then we do use it for sales tools and internally for training. So I'm a big advocate of that. Account days, these are great as well if you don't do them already. So this is where we go into an existing account. So example, we went into Nike. Nike's one of our customers. Huge, huge fans inside Nike, which we're very pleased with. And they invited their peers. So this is one of our programmatized pieces. It's low, low touch. It's a half day program. We bring in, you know, giveaways and cookies or lunch, and the customer provides the location. We might bring in one or two people. The customer does the presentation, invites their internal advocates, and we've got two more leads from that one meeting. And we do that. We do as many of these as we can. We do about 15 a quarter in each of our major regions, and we're just still, you know, continuing to get better and better at that. But those are awesome. Customer value assessments, that's like ROI analysis. We offer that as a service. Account-specific shared workspaces. If you have collaboration tools like Alfresco, we create workspaces, and you could do that in other tools too, where we put all our materials in the same location. So like we have a shared workspace with GE, and then all of the account team, people in GE can see what other parts of GE are doing with us, and we share marketing materials and project plans and all that. So we create an area for them and us to collaborate, yet other people can see what's going on. So that's been pretty useful. All right, some ideas. Hopefully you take one or two, and I'm happy to share offline real world examples with you guys. If you want to email me, I can send stuff to you. Okay, so now that we have this menu of items, we created our mix. So we tried to say, well, what are we going to do for the top tier accounts? And this is where, and actually this is a live slide, this is what I use internally. So we try to communicate, hey, on the top 20, you know, we're not going to be sourcing leads really from those top 20. That's sales sourced, but we're going to influence the heck out of those people we want to do a lot with. The ABM at scale, the way that we're doing this, and I have an example, is, you know, we're going to source a higher percentage of that. Overall, we're sourcing about 47% of the pipeline currently. So right now we're above our targets, but that's because sales isn't doing their other part, so we are where we should be. But we'll do more sourcing. And then in the inbound, you know, that's the stuff that's just going to come, and we'll get that. But so some of the things that we do, I talked about those Alfresco days, dinners. Additional things at ABM at scale, we do website personalization. I'll give you an example of that. We use Demandbase. The targeted digital marketing, so I'm sure all of you, if you haven't done this already or as you're getting started, thank goodness the content syndication vendors and all the vendors that do that are now allowing us to say, I only want leads from these accounts. So we give them our list of 4,000, and those are the only leads we get. It costs more, but man, does it cut down the noise. So if you're not doing that yet, absolutely negotiate with your vendors. And you know, we've gotten LinkedIn to do some of this as well with us. So highly, highly recommend that if you're not already doing it, as well as account-based advertising. So similar concept. So here's our accounts, that's all we want to pay for. you know, even if I'm spending the same amount of money, I know I'm going to get higher quality leads. And then the inbound is just, you know, all the traditional kind of SEO PR stuff. All right, so here's an example of what we did. So when we were approaching our ABM strategy, we were trying to figure out how do we segment. You could segment by persona, you could segment by vertical, you could segment by micro vertical, meaning like not just finance, but capital markets. So this is an example of what we did for our healthcare campaign. we have, first of all, I think it's gorgeous. Our agency did a really, really good job. But so what we wanted to communicate was for people coming to us or when we were going to events that, you know, it's not just about information, it's about the people. And so what we did was we created a series of materials, and it ran every event we went to, all of our content. When you come to our website, if your IP is tagged as healthcare, it automatically takes you to the healthcare page. Same thing with our retargeting activity. So this one has worked. I mean, I think it's a little bit unique to the campaign itself. It really is differentiated within healthcare. But when we're at events, people are like, oh, you're the Mary people. We're like, no, we're al fresco, but Mary is our the ad there. So we know it's working when people come up and say that. So the results for this campaign, and I'm going to share something that we did that it was kind of cool. So we created these agile teams. So if you don't have dedicated teams that are just focusing on the ABM, we came up with an idea in partnership. So we had a salesperson, we used the agile methodology as a framework for our thinking. And so we said, let's get together some teams and we'll just work. We won't build the perfect plan and we won't, you know, wait 6 months to get it done. Let's just get people in a room and get started. So it was a salesperson, a product marketing person, a campaigns person, and somebody from our digital team, and a field marketing person. So that was the five people that were part of this high level. So I'm talking about ABM at scale thinking here. And so they got together and they said, who would our target four personas be? What would be the messaging? And then what we were trying to do was get to sprints. So they met every week. They called themselves the trauma troopers. They met every week to kind of progress further the project. And we were getting to an MVP. An MVP meant minimum viable prospecting. So what point do we want to turn this on so you can start prospecting against it? And for them, and again, we gave them a menu of things and said, you can pick whatever you want. Do you want white papers? Do you want webcasts? You know, what is it that you want? So they wanted some white papers and a webcast. And so within our first program, we had unexpected success. So in terms of our downloads and our MQLs, we had like our conversion rate was in the 30th percentile. It was off the chart for us. And then our views went up from 500 views in April to 2,800 views of that particular page on our website with an increase in the number of time spent on the page. So we were just directing people to the right spot where it was meaningful for them versus asking them to search for it. And then in our banner ads, our click-through rate was 1.65%. So it just, this was definitely an area that we've been super proud of, and it's continuing to run. Now, we did this for other verticals as well, just in full transparency. That didn't work as well. So our manufacturing team got together and they didn't gel as well and we had to switch a few people out and it took us longer to get it going. So we did have some lessons learned on how this worked, but this program from the kickoff to the first inception, it was 2.5 months. For our government team, it took them 6 months. So it just depended. And a lot of people, it wasn't their full-time job, so they were doing this on the side. Okay, so that's the concepts around planning and an example around ABM at scale. In terms of communication, there's a couple of things that I've learned. The first thing is not to call it ABM, because then it's just a marketing thing. And what are you marketing people wanting to do, right? It's account selling. It's our strategy as a company, right? We're targeting our accounts and we're marketing and selling to them together. So that would be my first recommendation, is don't put the ABM moniker on it to start. People might not like me saying that, but that's a lesson learned. And then as you're thinking about this, you want to always go for the quick win. So we used the healthcare example as our quick win, and we had, you know, our sales, we had a guy that was promoted to the head of healthcare, and he attributed, you know, the work that he was doing with us on his success, and then he got a bigger team and a bigger quota. But so we had that one example that we could work with. And marketing and sales, we were in it in terms of a leadership. We hadn't yet brought in our head of customer success, which is important because that is where they do the renewals. And then product. So those are, we've gotten better at customer success. And the way that we do this is on those top 20 strategic accounts, we have quarterly account reviews. So there's an account plan, and then there's an account review. And we have all the stakeholders from that account participate on that call. What's happening in the account? Who are we contacting? What's the status of, you know, how many leads do we have? What's our contact view? And then ideally, we're having customer QBRs, and they're giving us requests, and we can feed that back to the product team. So that would be the next step that we would want to get into. So we're making sure that that's full circle. So we're halfway through our communication. The other thing is, how often do you consider changing your accounts? Like I said, the very beginning, we start out with 4,000, and then we just keep adding. So we put a handshake in place that will review counts on a quarterly basis. It's just a lot of work when you're thinking about, you know, doing contact acquisition and building out your database, and then, oh, those 150 accounts are no longer accounts, and you have to start all over again. You're like, really? So that was the handshake we had. And I know there was a question somebody asked me about that previously. So when we were building out our database, we had lots of different sources of data, so InsideView and Data.com and RainKing, and you know, you name it, we probably looked at it or used it, and then bringing all that data together and trying to rationalize it is a crazy exercise. Once we did it once, we hired interns to keep it alive. So we have two interns in the UK and two interns in California, and all they do is help us with data matching, data cleansing, and acquiring data, acquiring contacts in our A accounts. I didn't mention we do ABC. So in our A accounts, that's all they do. And if they're really good, then they can become SDRs. We've had a couple of them kind of graduate into SDRs. They already know our system. So that's how we're tackling it, because just acquiring the data without having people every single day working that data, it'll be stale the next day. So that's how we've decided to do that. And frankly, as much money as we were spending on data acquisition, we're spending less on interns and getting higher quality real-time information. We also struggled in Europe with data sources. So if anybody has good data sources in Europe, please come talk to me because we haven't cracked that nut yet. So in the US, our data is pretty good. In EMEA, we still struggle with doing anything outside of the actually just having people work on that. Okay, sorry, that was a little bit of a segue. I meant to say that earlier, but I wanted to make sure I covered it. Okay, so last but not least is measurement. So how do you know you're being successful? And we're just starting our new year and having negotiations on, you know, what are our targets for this year? What am I signing up in terms of contribution? How many inquiries? How many MQLs? And my point of view on that is it actually doesn't matter who sources, if it's marketing source or sales source. I just care about the closed won number. And I was at a round table, a couple of you in the audience were there, and we said, should we even just take away attribution altogether, provocatively saying that? Because really, if you're hand in hand, you just care about the accounts, you care if they're active, you care what they're doing, and you care that they're buying from you. So if I stand up and say, well, I sourced 50% of the pipeline, and we're still not close winning, then there's a problem. So think about really what you want your metrics to be. Pick a few, don't pick too many. But as you're thinking about ABM, or if you're already in ABM, this might be just a validation point of what to think of. So I pulled this from a couple of different sources. We have a metric, a measurement we use. It's called CAPER, so I'll go through it. So we look at coverage. So for our target accounts, and we look at it from an A, B, and C, do we have sufficient data? How many contacts? Are they the right contacts? We've done role mapping so we can see, you know, do we have C-levels or decision makers or developers? So we can look at data in an aggregate view, and we view it in Tableau. So I can see my coverage, ABC accounts, data, contact, and account plans for each account. So account plans live in Salesforce, so we can run a report on account plans as well. On the awareness side, are they aware? Are they coming to us? We're not doing as well here. So our inbound of target accounts is still really low, the people that are coming directly to our website. So that's the measurement we look at, awareness. So how do we get better at that is a nut we're trying to crack. Program impact. Are these programs reaching the target accounts? Are they willing to have a long-term effect? So we've changed some of our metrics. Like, for instance, if we're doing a roadshow event, our goals are number of target accounts, not number of registered attendees anymore. We used to be like, yay, we had 400 people. Who were they? I don't know, right? So now it's like, no, 75% of the people were from target accounts. Rock on, you know, and maybe we have 6 people that are from the same account. Even better, because that shows engagement. So that we made that change this year and saying, okay, you know, maybe we go smaller events, higher quality, and get the right people in the room for the same amount of effort. How about that for an idea? So that's what we're looking at. And we look at each single program, and we look at target accounts versus non-target accounts, and we're tracking that very closely. Engagement, if depending on the folks that are further down this path, you might be looking at this. So are the right people in the account spending time? How do you measure that? There are technologies out there that kind of sound like engagement and that I think are making great strides. So the fact as well that Marketo moved to an account-based view is huge. So we can start to see how many contacts, are they engaged, what are they doing? We've written some custom reports in Salesforce to see that as well. What was interesting was the salespeople were really uncomfortable with not knowing what marketing was doing in their target accounts. So these are their golden accounts. Ugh. Are you emailing them? Don't email them. I'm managing this account. But as soon as we showed them, gave them a view of, no, this is who we're emailing, who's responding, and then we can see who they're doing, it made them more comfortable. So they took that marketing suspend tick off and let us market to them again once we gave them visibility. That was a big deal for them. And then, finally, the results. So are they improving the sales outcomes? Are those top 20 accounts growing or not? What's our deal velocity when we look at it? So what was good was in our Tableau view of our marketing dashboard, I have target accounts, named accounts, other, and I can just toggle and see, like, our ASP is higher in target accounts versus non-target. Our velocity is that different? So I can start to see it. Which then helps us figure out what else we want to do. So things like contract value, retention, customer satisfaction scores, their health scores, these are all things that we can look at in terms of results. I have a minute 30 left. And so I'm going to ask if there's any questions, because the last guy, yes, a question.
How many salespeople?
We have 60 salespeople that have quotas, and that's a mix of field reps that have 40 accounts and corporate reps that have 150 accounts. I can't remember the split on that one. It's 60 salespeople. Yeah?
How do you determine the right mix between what sales is doing, what marketing is doing, what customer is doing? You get the right piece together, who does what?
That's an awesome question. So she asked, how do you decide the mix? Like, who, what's the role? It depends. Every team is different. And I think that's the hardest part where our field marketing team struggles, because they're in the front lines. And so we put that menu together so at least we could, stay within a box of things to execute on. But it really depends at the regional level where that region is and its maturity. I talked to a couple people that were just starting or figuring out what to start. You know, start small with your highest chance of success is my advice. And get your win in. And what I always tell my team is go where the energy is, Like, put your energy with the people that you know are going to do this and be successful. The top, the bottom 20%, we can't spend our time and effort trying to make them better. Like, let's make the people we know that are going to be successful more successful. So I would start there. You can get an assessment of who your strong regions. And then doing the planning and, it depends on that mix of programs and so they kind of decided a level of, maybe the sales rep is going to contact these people, and then the SDRs are going to contact these people, and marketing is going to contact, if we're looking at an account level in terms of roles, you could look at it that way. So it just really depends. It's not a one-size-fits-all, unfortunately. 20 seconds, one more question. Yay.
So you started originally, you had an inbound and it moved going.
That's a great question. So that she asked, you know, did we reallocate? Did we get a dedicated ABM team? We're a 400-person company. There's 35 people in marketing. We did not get a new team. We created those vertical virtual teams to get our vertical content where we needed to be able to at least run an at-scale program. And then we rescoped the field marketing team's role to do the account specific for the top 20 accounts. So they're on the hook for doing the account specific activities just at that top tier level. And then that at scale is held more by our demand gen team, although, you know, when we're talking about regional programs and things like that, we're still working with our target accounts. That's how we handle it. But good question. Awesome. I'm done. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Sydney. A lot of actionable tactics out of there. So hopefully you guys got a lot out of that. So we're going to break for about 8 minutes. We're going to set up here for our first ABM in Action panel. So don't go too far because we want to get started and stay on track. Thank you.